Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning into Slumber Party.
Welcome, welcome. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You are tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star. But before we get into our show today, we just want to acknowledge that Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
And as well, if you ever want to send us a text, send us a message about our show, or any of the shows, you can text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573, or just check out the website.
Yep, and here we are. We are live in the studio. It's been, at least for me, a couple of weeks since I've been here for the live show, so it's nice to be back.
It is nice for you to be back because soloing a show is so hard.
Went off the rails.
Went a little off the rails there, and it's really hard to bounce off a conversation that was kind of meant to. I feel like it's more of a conversational topic last time, and I had to do that by myself.
So sorry, but you had to endure that.
It's okay. We're back.
We are back. And yeah, welcome everyone. This is Slumber Party, and today we will definitely get into the music before our topic, but we can give you a little taste of it right now. We have a bit, we're trying to do a quote now at the beginning of every episode, so we'll see how that goes. But the quote is, patriarchy is held to be about power over others, while matriarchy is held to be about power from within. And that comes from Cynthia Eller. So we will be talking about the matriarchy today, what it is, some common misconceptions or confusions surrounding it, and how it can be a bit of a feminist alternate utopia, and maybe ways that we could try to get there one day.
By using examples in history, and with special topic of the bonobos, that can help us with this. So stay tuned for that. But as usual, we'll get into the music. So this first one we are going to be playing Isla Tranquila.
Isla Tranquilita.
Yeah. By Cassandra from the album Isla Tranquilita. So hope you enjoy.
I was on my way out to the nightclub. Don't know why I came, it just sounded like what I'm supposed to do with you done touched. If I could find a way back to beginnings, would it happen at all so differently? Or would my dreams and their lovers still weigh on me? Is it tranquility? Oh,
Do you hear that? It's a wood thrush. Songbirds lift our hearts, bring us joy, support healthy environments, and connect us with nature. Sadly, due to free-roaming cats, collisions with buildings, and habitat loss, over a quarter of Canada's birds have disappeared. It's heartbreaking. With your help, Nature Canada has mobilized thousands of Canadians for more than 85 years to protect and celebrate birds. To find out how you can save bird lives, go to birds.naturecanada.ca.
Atención.
Yucasterio. Domingos, 6 a 8 p.m. 90.1 CJSF Radio.
CJSF
90.1 FM.
Radio Mano Papachango
90.1 FM. Yucasterio.
Atención.
Tu chino el cochino.
Con la rixia.
Yeah. Soy una muñeca, soy la que lo calienta. Me gusta como besa, me sabe a rocaleta. Siempre que nos vemos me quiere comer. Y como una paleta yo lo quiero lamer.
Te quiera, es que tengo fea fobia. Perdón, soy así, un hijo de puta. Desde que nací, si me viste cara de angelito, no es así. Soy una bolosa, quiero todas para mí, para mí.
Soy una muñeca, soy la que lo calienta. Me gusta como besa, me sabe a rocaleta. Siempre que nos vemos, me quiere comer. Y como una paleta, yo lo quiero lamer. Chupa, chupa como rocaleta.
Toda la noche no se cansa. Una atleta.
Sola me le monto como monto en bicicleta.
¿Qué te puedo decir? Te enamoras de un poeta.
Es muy difícil ser hot como yo. Quería copiarme pero no lo logró. Es muy difícil ser hot como yo. Yo quería copiarme pero no lo logró.
I need to go, but ill-equipped, head to toe.
miles a day. I pave the way.
I'm gonna take a walk anyways.
Go. Read. Repeat. So. Read. Repeat. So. Read.
Welcome back. Just dropped my headphones. Right on beat, though. So that song... Okay, first of all, I'm getting frazzled. First of all, this is CJSF 9.1 FM. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And that song you just heard was Walking Away From My Demons, the Wet Leg remix by Foreal. And I love that song. I've been playing it on repeat. Something about it is just... Yeah, I'm going to take a walk for sure. And before that was Rocoletta by Rixia and Riva. We both really enjoy this song. This was DJ Coco's pick, but I have sent this to her before.
Yeah, made a little mistake there because DJ Star sent this to me a long time ago. And I was like, oh, I like this. Then I never ended up saving the song. And then just only about a week or so ago, I was like, ooh, look at this new song I found. And then I sent it back to her. Yeah, I discovered it. And then sent it back to DJ Star. So I'm going to credit that to DJ Star for that one, but and then the one right before that, we also played, was Repeat the Beat, the Snapping remix by Robert Gorl from the album Electric Maryland, which was from a random record in the station that we just were playing, just before the show. So hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun one. I don't think you can find it on any streaming services. So no. That was a one-time enjoyment unless you want to volunteer at the station and, you know, play some of our records.
Yep.
But other than that, we will get into the topic. It is, you know, like most of our topics, it is quite beefy. There's a lot to talk about here because it's just broad. Like, we're going to talk about the matriarchy. And I know... Often we talk about the patriarchy on this show, and I've been thinking about some ways to instill a bit of hope or alternatives, because it's very easy to critique something without providing any way to get out of it, because sometimes it does feel quite hopeless to be living under the patriarchy. Yeah.
And just in case that you don't know the definition of patriarchy, it's essentially just the way, in just broad terms, of how men are in charge of, you know, most of the social systems in the world, for example, or just in smaller settings, like in family settings, that the father is usually the supreme authority and they control, you know, family or the group's activities, kind of thing.
Yeah, it basically revolves around male power and perpetuating that and justifying that through violence a lot of the time towards women and towards other groups that are not, I guess, cis white men. But yeah, so getting into the definition of the matriarchy, I think it is a very commonly misunderstood one, because when I was first initially researching it, the Merriam-Webster dictionary says that it's a social system where women hold primary power, moral authority, and control over property. So it sounds pretty much just like the patriarchy, but the opposite. And the alternate definition, that is more of like a feminist definition as well, because I think the first definition is anthropological in a sense, and that's considered matriarchy when they're doing like anthropological studies, and they think there's no true matriarchy like that has ever existed. But anyways, the one we'll be talking about is from the historian Heidi Gottner Abendroth. So she's a German feminist who, I think, created this school of matriarchy and is studying matriarchal societies. She was actually nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And the definition is, for matriarchy, is societies led by women, especially mothers, who have significant say over political, economic decisions while still upholding egalitarian values. So that means equity and equality is still upheld, and it's not one over the other.
Mm-hmm. I think that is the best definition that we'll be thoroughly discussing. I also wanted to mention that there was also a third definition that I found, which we won't get into, but it also speaks that a matriarchy is just essentially a fully egalitarian society. So men and women both work in partnership with one another. But I find this a little confusing that some people defined a matriarchy as this, as, you know, it starts with it starts with woman. So having this fully equal and having the definition still put woman at the front doesn't make too much sense to me. So we won't get into that. But that is another perspective as well.
Yeah, I am still a little bit iffy on how can it be completely egalitarian if it's still a matriarchy? But we'll get into the misconceptions a bit first off. Is that in the matriarchy, there isn't necessarily the same hierarchy or superiority or supremacy of women that patriarchy enforces with men. Like I said, it's not the opposite of patriarchy.
I think, and as well with this, this misconception comes a lot and in conjunction with the idea that feminism is that, you know, women want more rights than men, which obviously isn't the goal of feminism.
Yeah. And I think part of this confusion stems from just not knowing what the word means, because there are these other terms, gynocracy or gynarchy, which is the rule of women over men. So this isn't, yeah, like I said again, not one over the other, but rather centering women and mothers. It's specifically for mothers, I think, but not that you need to be a biological mother, because it's more of a community of people acting as mothers to the new generation of children. But we can get into that. I think we've covered most of the misunderstandings.
Yeah, I think misunderstanding wise, like just overall, it's more that in a matriarchy, men are not subordinate to women, and there are more elements of equality between sexes. Just kind of the same idea as even feminism with having equal rights. But we can get more into the actual elements, which it can kind of help solidify this idea.
Yeah, so just to flesh it out, the concept of matriarchy a little bit more is that it's based on maternal values, practices, and rituals. So the system is for the benefit of women and their families, but ultimately it benefits everyone on Earth because, you know, children are kind of the basis of human life, or like bringing in new life consistently into Earth is like, you know, the foundation. So it generally shapes society for the act of rearing children and raising them.
Yeah, I think for this rearing children part is massive in a matriarchy, especially with motherhood, particularly because, you know, motherhood is for rearing children. And what motherhood is really a sense of nurturing and respect and even just community, because everyone takes care of children, you know, in this matriarchy, that it's not just the woman, but also the men and the community. So it could be, you know, aunts and uncles and grandparents and neighbors, for example. And I think that having a basis of society that's more on this foundation rather than the patriarchal elements of organization with, you know, competition and very organized hierarchy, it can look different.
Yeah, definitely. And just thinking of it now, of this idea of motherhood being made central in the matriarchy is such a sharp contrast to how the patriarchy treats mothers, and how they are so, their labor, first of all, is extremely devalued because, you know, mothers take up the majority of any kind of domestic household labor, as well as just their roles in society are kind of like pushed to the boundaries. They're highly criticized, highly scrutinized for, you know, not being good enough. And so much focus is on them, while we don't really look at raising children in a community way. So we're really just targeting these individual mothers for not being good enough, when there are so many other factors at play that make it very difficult to raise children in the society. And, you know, especially when we're not raising men sometimes to be, you know, the best fathers. And something I found interesting about this idea of a matriarchy is that men actually achieve status within this system through being a quote-unquote good mother. So there are very different standards for mothers and fathers in the patriarchy. And I think being a good mother is quite hard. But when we talk about maternal values, we can talk about like care, love, reciprocity, that kind of thing.
I also want to bring up another element of the matriarchy I think is somewhat similar to this motherhood idea, which is how we would treat nature, because nature is usually labeled with the term, you know, Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is associated with both female in both the matriarchy and patriarchy. And so I think that right now our planet is obviously being very mistreated. And I saw this quote where it said, "We accept the mistreatment of our planet because we see her as a mother," which, yeah, I thought was brutal to think about, because the fact that we just don't respect and we take all these resources for granted because we don't see the value and how much it gives back to us, kind of thing. And that's just another element where I believe that in a matriarchy, with having women have more power and status in this, we would be able to have more respect for the environment, for example.
Yes, definitely in theory. We'll get into issues after this, because yeah, there are some questions I have. But yeah, based on this mother nature idea, there are a lot of maternal values that are derived from this, like caring for all beings, no matter how different they are. So there's an emphasis on honoring diversity. And yeah, just the act of not necessarily just creating life, but also raising life. And like throughout the life cycles, nature plays a huge role in that, as well as mothers. In terms of politics, this is where I think people get concerned about the matriarchy of like, oh my gosh, are women just going to be dictators here? But it's actually based on consensus decision making, like more of a grassroots democracy vision, where the matriarch would be the facilitator and the consensus has to be reached by the whole community to make a decision. And they try to balance between women and men and young and old. But for the most part, the matriarchy is like based on a lot of local and regional subsistence. So it's like local gardening, agriculture, regional communication, trade, tech, art. So instead of having these massive national corporations that we have right now that, you know, control a lot of our economy and our actions, or not our actions, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. But instead of having these national corporations who are very influential in our lives, it'd be more regional groups and organizations that are, you know, taking part in the economy, which I think is a great alternative. Obviously, there's a lot to think about there, about how that would play out. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think with this economy, too, that with having these more local ownership, and not ownership, but more sharing of resources, it is something that is said that could be done in a matriarchy where, for example, you know, money and household items or religious items, when they are in local regions, it's easier to spread and share them between people rather than these, you know, mega corporations kind of thing. And it also doesn't mean that you can own objects fully or own even people under the patriarchy, because, you know, in history, men were owning children and wives. You know, for example, in the 1980s, raping your wife wasn't even a crime because women were, quote unquote, their man's property. So this would be a clashing perspective off the patriarchy, which, you know, this is the ideal matriarchy, though.
Yeah, like the matriarchy doesn't believe in any form of private property because you cannot necessarily own anything about Mother Earth. And in terms of like the living situation, it's mostly like large kinship groups, which shapes a familial society where there's a lot of reciprocal care. And like I said, everyone is the mother. And it runs in accordance with matriliny, which is descent traced through the mother's side. Matrilocality, which is where the partner moves in with the mother and her kin, and matrifocality, which is just like the focus on mothers and putting matriarchs at the center, like, for example, facilitating voting or something like that. And yeah, so there are some religious aspects, but they're more so spiritual, of just making the entire world and our environment sacred. So we have respect for it and focusing on the divine feminine, which I'm not exactly sure what the divine feminine means, but it's mostly a focus on honoring and celebrating life and nature. Yeah.
These are the elements of a matriarchy, but we'd also want to get into the issues with this, because this is obviously like the ideal picture of a matriarchy would look like, but we have some personal points that we'd like to bring up and mention for this too.
Yeah, so I think obviously capitalism, like the influence of capitalism on women, is not like just limited to men. Like, women are still susceptible to capitalism's influences, is what I'm trying to say. And just because, you know, like, we're assuming that there, first of all, we're assuming that there are some like gender roles and these innate qualities of women that will make them like better leaders of the society, which, like, you know, it might be true. We do see a lot of leaders who are female and are like leaders of their country, and we've seen, you know, lots of good improvements. But anyways,
yeah, because I feel like it also dismisses the fact that there's also a lot of business owners and CEOs who are women as well.
Totally. It's multi- almost like girl boss.
Yeah, it's like, obviously there are still companies and there are also women who want to make a lot of money out there. So I feel like it diminishes that fact that, oh, you know, all women, they all want to share kind of thing idea.
Yeah, and like it specifically and explicitly argues that women are uniquely capable of using these powers without exploitative purposes, which is very flattening of you know, the differences within women as well of, you know, some women are like evil, you know what I mean? Like, it's not feminist to be like, oh, well, women are better than men because of this and this. And like, built on feminine values, I'm also unsure about, and how it could be like, certain veins of this argument feel kind of exclusionary in a way to maybe like trans women or people who weren't born as women but identify in some sort of, you know, like feminine gender identity. But I mean, like, it does argue that you don't have to be a biological mother to be acknowledged as a woman, and matriarchies practice common motherhood. But it just feels like some of these gender essentialist values that are being projected onto the matriarchy are slightly questionable to me. But it is a debate whether, you know, women are naturally more caring or, you know, more reciprocal or more empathetic, or if it's just socialized.
Yeah, because does a mother to participate in motherhood always have to be a woman or female? I feel like there's a lot of questions that, yeah, as you just started saying, that are hard and difficult to answer. Another point I also wanted to bring up, which I feel the most strongly about, is how we are very much boxing women into these gender stereotypes, especially with how we'd treat nature, how we would rear children, etc. And this around this idea that all women seem to be just naturally very nurturing and empathetic and giving, when there is a massive component of how women are just expected and socialized to have these traits, and as an entire group tend to exhibit these conditioned behaviors because we're rewarded for it. And I think that's an entire realm that can impact this idea. For example, saying that, you know, women are natural empaths, and there's a female brain, which is a myth, and that men and women, you know, are both empathetic in different ways. And so by saying that, in a matriarchy, that it would all just seems like this much more perfect society that, you know, oh, if men or if women start to run this, we would be all kinder to each other and we would be all this, which I think is still true to some sense, like having a foundation built on motherhood, for example, rears a different society. But I think there are some holes in the argument that with this, you know, role of socialization and being rewarded for these behaviors when not necessarily they're biological, that women are just on average always way more empathetic than men and caring and nurturing.
Yeah, and it's, even though it mentions that it honors diversity, other than that, in my reading and research about this, it doesn't seem to be overtly intersectional in any way. Like, we can acknowledge that maybe, you know, we wouldn't have these same gender power structures, but would we not still have like racial power structures in place, and also like a sense of heteronormativity if we're talking about gender roles so strict? Not like, I don't know if it's strictly, but if we're assigning these kind of gender roles to women.
Yeah, like women are still also capable of being racist and
homophobic,
yes. And capable of violence, too. Like, yeah. There are women who are violent, too. We're just saying that, okay, just because women are ruling doesn't mean there's not going to be any violence in any way. And, you know, there's still going to be things that happen that, you know, like hierarchies, for example, are still possible. And we see this with, you know, girl private schools, for example. There are girls who rank themselves into hierarchies regardless of men being around.
Yeah, and then it just turns into the question of, like, oh, is there always going to be a power struggle for domination over other people? Like, can we trust this matriarchy will be the end-all be-all? But I think the important part about the matriarchy is, like, how it is connected to nature, because I think that is one of the major things that is super flawed in our society right now. And I am slightly interested in this topic of, like, okay, well, you know, women are capable of being violent as well. But if we look at the statistics of women who are committing violent crimes, or, you know, just the difference of ratio in violence between men and women, it is like starkly different. And, you know, we can chalk a lot of that up to how men are socialized to be and how they are supposed to repress their feelings and, you know, be very like machismo. But I am kind of curious about like the psychology behind that, of mm-hmm. if it's true that women are just like less likely to be violent, or if it's, you know, capitalism and patriarchy that are breeding this.
Yeah. Nature versus nurture. Yeah. Once again,
basically, here we are.
But can go into some good examples, because we have some examples where we can talk a little bit more about the biology too, about maybe if that influences anything, what other groups have done. But I think first of all, we have some human examples, because I've got some primate examples later on.
Stay tuned for that.
Yes, stay tuned.
But yeah, I think a lot of this like theory of matriarchy is, you know, it's done by like, I think a lot of it's happening in Germany, and it kind of looks over the fact that, you know, there's a lot of indigenous groups, not all, but there's quite a number of them who have been practicing matriarchy. And, you know, that was very violently repressed through colonization and continues to be, but it's like held sacred, and women are looked to for advice in many indigenous cultures who have placed women at the center of their society, at least in some manner.
Yeah, one example is the, I don't know if I'm not gonna
Iroquois,
where they have a matrilinear society, where I don't know if I said that
I
right.
I think it's matrilineal.
Lineal? I think I completely butchered that word.
Just slid right through.
But that, I believe it's, when is it? The lineage, that the, something that is passed down from the woman's side of inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And that in their groups, that the women are, they designate the men to serve as the chiefs. So they're making the decision, but the men are the, I guess, token, or the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And the husbands live with the wives' families after marriage.
Yeah, I think that's an element of matrilocality. Like moving in with your wife and like her family.
Yeah.
And then some people even have like live-in husbands, where they just come over for companionship and intimacy and then like go back to their own home.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not bad. I don't complain.
Yeah, good work.
And then there's also the group from Indonesia, the Minangkabau.
Minangkabau.
But anyways, it's 4 million people. So that's a lot. That's like, I think it's the biggest current matriarchy. And yeah, property is passed from mothers to daughters. Women control domestic duties, but men control political and spiritual responsibilities. So like, this does seem slightly more related to the patriarchy, and I guess it could be more of like a matrilineal society. But yeah, I think we're gonna get into bonobos pretty soon here.
But one note with this, I feel like it is more in tune with just the elements that they're still upholding more egalitarian values, I feel like, because you know, there's more equal, you know, it's not like women are controlling all the duties, but they're sharing more of the duties between each other. So that, I feel like that could be more in line with the alternative definition.
True.
But third one, very excited, as if you know DJ Coco, if you know me very well, I love bonobos, absolutely love them. And bonobos are our closest animal relatives. So we have chimpanzees and bonobos share 98.7% of their DNA with humans. So they are primates and essentially very close genetically. Obviously, that 1.3% of DNA accounts for a lot of other stuff. But, you know, sometimes it is nice to look and see maybe of some differences and similarities between us and them. And wanted to get particularly into bonobos because they are a matriarchal society. All bonobos, they live with an accepted female leader. So they do have hierarchies in bonobo societies, but it's always the eldest female who is the most highest ranking. And all the highest rankings are the elder females. And then when you get to the lower ends, you know, it's more equal between the males and females, but it's always the elder females at the top. And also, the places of the males in bonobos are almost entirely dependent on their mother's position in the group's hierarchy.
Ooh,
yeah.
This is so interesting.
And infants are one of the highest positions in bonobo societies, and they can actually pluck food from a mouth of a fully grown male and get away with it. And, you know, if we look at chimpanzees, the other example of our also closest lineage, which are known to be aggressive and competitive and patriarchy, we see that on the opposite end, that these bonobos, like the kids, they are absolutely worshipped. So this actually is very in tune with the human definition of the matriarchy, where motherhood and infants are put at the forefront and are deemed very important. And so one of the reasons why they're still surviving, you know, people are like, oh, well, aren't they supposed to be competing for food? Like, how the heck are they not just killing each other? You know, what happens if this happens, or, you know, the resources are gone? But their key to survival against the environment and also against male bonobos is their way of cooperating with each other. So the female bonobos, when they team up together, they can withstand any powerful, you know, rogue male that's trying to take over. You know, like there's like Bobby, the bonobo over here, is trying to take over the queen pin spot. Or and, you know, if you take 30 bonobos, 30 female bonobos against one bonobo, obviously.
Yeah, who's going to win?
Yeah, who's going to, like, come on. And so that's how, this is the key to their matriarchy, is that of this cooperation. And as well, it's not even just the fact that, you know, obviously they can team up against this one bonobo, but they, even if they do fight, they're still interested in reconciling with, for example, someone after conflict. So if a high-ranking bonobo gets in fight with a low-ranking bonobo, you'll find them, you know, grooming and then food sharing with them over political gain, which the bonobo could easily have done, which they could have just been like, ah, you know, screw this guy, you know, everyone.
Screw Bobby.
Yeah, screw Bobby. Everyone make fun of him. They'll be like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, just chill. Like, don't try that again, kind of thing. And one aspect of this is that there's been no confirmed observation of a bonobo killing another of one own kind, except if there is a male threatening a female or pressuring a younger female for sex by elder female males. So I think that's honestly incredible. And
it is so cool.
It is so cool. Like, this
is the way to go.
Worked. That's the way to go. And that's one of our, like, one of our closest ancestors is this matriarchy. And it has all the components of what we were talking about before. And one of them is also co-ownership, which that the female bonobos, they do have their share first, but they are very egalitarian and they spread and share their resources. So, for example, you know, a female or male bonobo hunter comes and kills something and then comes back with their prize. And then the old female has been reported to put their arm actually on it and then calmly take it as possession. And then everyone just calmly waits until she's had her share. And then she just gives the rest to everyone. And I think that's honestly beautiful, because with all these stereotypes about chimpanzees going crazy and that we are most like them, with the patriarchy and just human culture. But bonobos can show us that there are actual mechanisms in nature that it is possible for these very more peaceful, matriarchal, more equal societies to emerge without having to do anything like fighting for human rights kind of thing. They just naturally do it.
Yeah, and I like that the infants or the young bonobos actually do have quite a high ranking in their society, too, because when we compare that to patriarchal society, our human patriarchal society, it almost feels like children might have, like, the least... They have, like, the least amount of rights, but also, I guess, respect as well. or social ranking, like they're pretty much the bottom rung if we're talking about age at least. And yeah, I think that is quite wrong.
Yeah.
And our society is not built for children at all.
I feel
like they're treated as an inconvenience.
Yeah, I feel like with one example with that is that when, for example, like a teen pregnancy, it's always the girl who has to take care of the infant and the boy runs off. Like, it's like thrown off, like, sure, that's your own infant, but you're still running off kind of thing and you're never seeing it again while she rears it. And I feel like that's just showing how low infants are ranked.
Yeah.
In that way.
For sure. And just like when you're a child and your parents are taken off to work constantly and like, you know, the care it's not there as much as it could be. And just so many like places are not built for children. Like, yeah, we have playgrounds, but, you know, it kind of seems like an afterthought in a lot of other spaces when there are, you know, like adult gatherings. And it's like, oh, well, if you have a child and you're a mother or father, like, what are you supposed to do? Not participate in society and just stay at home? I guess get a babysitter. But that is, again, like another way of kind of having communal mothers would help with this issue, I think, a lot. And that's kind of how humans are supposed to. Okay, I know I shouldn't use like a prescriptive piece, but I think that is a strength of humans, is being able to collaborate with one another and to share the responsibilities so they're not so much on one individual person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
it's all about sharing.
Totes.
Sharing and equal rights, please. That's all we want.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up our conversation, which is good because we'll have enough time to play one last song.
This one's a good one. I'm excited. This last one we'll introduce. Actually, maybe we'll say our goodbyes and everything. Then I'll introduce the very last one.
True.
But yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. We will be back next Tuesday, 6 to 7. So stay tuned for that week. But up next, we have Lynn's Open Mic, I think. Lynn's Open Mic from 7 to 8, and then Bitcoover from 8 p.m. onwards with our music coordinator, Connor. So definitely stick around for that. But as I said, last song is called Beat Back by
FCU.
I don't want to say the actual one.
Yeah.
Might get banned. But it's the Justin Strauss's En La Piscina remix. All these Spanish titles are throwing me off.
It's not your strong suit.
Yeah, I'm just going to pass them off to you every time.
Nice. Well, here's Beat Back by FCUKers. We'll see you next week.
See you.
Bye. listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.